Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherd who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back in their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior.
The second reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we start at verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke 23:33-43. When they came to a place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if God's his Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I will tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As I said at the beginning of the service, that we have come to the end of the long ordinary season. From next Sunday, we enter into the Advent season. The last Sunday in this ordinary season is celebrated as Feast of Christ the King. This Sunday is also called, back in England, I think, Stir Sunday. That means you are getting ready for making pudding. You know, you stir, the Stir Sunday, which means a busy Sunday, busy days are ahead of you. And as you enter into this Advent season and Christmas season, busy days, you have to remember the important truth, the gospel truth. There is a reason for this season, and this particular Sunday, we are taught to remember the reason. Feast of Christ the King. Who is this King? Who is Jesus to us? If we know him, then we will be able to celebrate him meaningfully. And that's the reason I thought I will bring 3 points about this wonderful King so that we will celebrate him meaningfully. Number one, the King who chose to suffer. Jesus is the suffering King. According to the Luke's Gospel, whatever we read from Luke chapter 23, you would notice that 3 times it is said unto Jesus, save yourself. First, the religious leaders mocked and said, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God. Hearing what the leaders said, religious leaders said, the soldiers said, if you are the King of the Jews, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. They also mocked Jesus. Hearing the soldiers saying this, one of the thieves also said unto Jesus, save yourself and us. So 3 times people mocked Jesus, saying that save yourself. They mocked, they ridiculed, but they gave a suggestion. They gave a strong suggestion, save yourself. Of course, that is an option given to Jesus. That option was not available to those 2 thieves. They cannot come out of the cross. They are ordinary, simple human beings. But Jesus is King of Kings. The option is a temptation. 3 times the temptation was offered or suggested to Jesus, save yourself. But Jesus chose to suffer. When Peter struck the servant by cutting his ear, Jesus said this, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Yes, Jesus can save himself. Of course, that is not at all difficult, but he chose to suffer. He chose to suffer, he chose the path of sacrifice. He voluntarily submitted himself to suffer. Look at his life. He was born as a helpless babe. Somebody has to change his diaper. He was born in a difficult country, a war-torn place. He took baptism. There was no need for him to take baptism. But he took baptism so that he can identify with us. He wept over the death of Lazarus. There is no need for him to weep, but he wept so that he can join with us in our suffering. He was crucified, a full measure of suffering. He did all this to save us, a suffering king. His throne is the cross. His crown is made out of thorns. That is our king. Now, the question comes to us, what kind of king is this? Because in him we have this tension. And I thought I would bring those five tensions that we see in Jesus. He is fully sovereign and yet fully servant. Fully of the realm of God and yet fully of this world. Fully already accomplished, everything he has accomplished on the cross, and yet fully not completed. Fully victorious and yet fully in the battle against evil or battle with the evil. He is fully God, fully divine, and fully human, fully man. So in Jesus, we see this tension. Remember, someone very beautifully said about Jesus, he always has been and he always will be. He had no predecessor and he will have no successor. There is nobody before him and there will be nobody after him. You cannot impeach him, and he is not going to resign. He is the only king, the true king, the king who chose to suffer for all of us. He is our king, and the cross cannot be removed from Jesus. Cross and Jesus are inseparable. When I was working as a missionary very long time ago in Gujarat, one of the states in India, new people started coming to faith. And we had this question, because these people were idol worshippers, they had idol pictures in their homes, and now because they are the followers of Jesus, they removed all of them. They came to us and they asked us what picture they should have it at home. It's a, you know, we had to give them something because they had to remember something. So we had this dilemma, what to give? Should we give Jesus picture? We decided that we would give the crucifix. We will give the crucified Jesus. And I still remember the picture that we gave them. The crucified Jesus under the foot of the cross, an Indian woman with the sari kneeling down. Yes, Jesus cannot be separated from the cross. He is a suffering Messiah. He is suffering with us now. He has promised that he would be with us till the end of the earth. So he is with us in our suffering. You may be suffering in your lives. You may have a relationship problem, or you may have a problem in your workplace, or you may have problem with your relatives, or you may be having health issues, you may be suffering. But Jesus, who wept over the death of Lazarus, is with you, struggling and suffering with you. So Jesus is with you, the suffering King. And that's the reason the Hebrew writers, the writer to the Hebrews very clearly said, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. We are being tempted, we are living in this world, and suffering is part and parcel of our lives, and he is with us, the suffering King, to help us in our suffering. He is not with us to sympathize with us. No, he is not as a helpless person living among us or living with us. No, he is with us so that he can help us to come out of the suffering, probably. Or there's another meaning. He is with us to help us so that the suffering that we go through will have some meaning. There is a meaning in our suffering because Jesus is with us. Secondly, I want to bring this point to us. The King who rules with his forgiveness. The King who rules with his forgiveness. He offers forgiveness. In this passage, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Should we need this prayer? Should we reject this prayer? I don't need this prayer. Can anyone say that we are doing everything justly, correctly, perfectly, that we don't need Jesus' forgiveness? No, not at all. We need his forgiveness. I remember a long time ago when I just began my ministry, I had the privilege of going to a big jail in India, a big prison. On the Christmas day, exactly on the Christmas day, we were allowed to go to the prison to meet with the prisoners and to give them biryani. So I was part of the team who got into the prison. All the prisoners were brought in, around 700 people, 700 to 800 people, big gathering. And we were sitting on the stage. The preacher who preached on that day, he looked at all of them and said, there is one difference between you and us, people who are sitting here. There's only one difference between you and us. The difference is you are caught and we are yet to be caught. We are all sinners. We are all sinners, and we need the forgiveness from our Lord Jesus. He said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Who are they? They did not ask for forgiveness. They did not repent of their sins. They did not know what is the meaning of forgiveness, but Jesus is willing to offer forgiveness to all. The King who rules with his forgiveness. Look at the penitent thief. In Matthew's account, when you read this passage, you would notice that both thieves who were crucified along with Jesus mocked Jesus. They ridiculed him. But once they were up on the cross, the penitent thief heard Jesus saying the first words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When the impenitent thief made fun of Jesus, he rebuked the impenitent thief. This penitent thief said, we suffer because we are sinners. We are condemned. We deserve what we deserve this punishment. But look at him. There is sin in me, and therefore I am being punished, but there is no sin in him. He is innocent, but it is poured upon him. Carefully, when you read the passage, you would notice that. We are sinners. We are condemned. We deserve this punishment. But the person who is crucified in middle of us, there is no sin in him. But he is suffering because of others, because of us. He realized that. So first, he realized that he is a sinner. Second, he realized that the one who is next to him is suffering because the sin is poured upon him, the suffering he is undergoing because of somebody else. And then he made this beautiful prayer, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Both of them said some kind of a prayer. Of course, this penitent thief said this prayer, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." The impenitent thief said also a prayer, "Save us, save yourself and save us." But that prayer did not, and Jesus did not answer to that prayer, because that prayer did not come with faith, did not come with repentance, and he was still mocking Jesus. But this penitent thief's prayer was answered. Now, when we look at Jesus, he is willing to immediately forgive. When we turn to him, he is more than willing to receive us. Jesus is undergoing excruciating pain. It is a time to relax a bit. It is a time to have it for his own. But as soon as he said, Jesus offered him the salvation. Jesus is willing to give him. No question is asked. You might have watched the Crown episode, the Crown series of Netflix. If you have watched, you would have noticed that the series, the episode might have taught you how to move with the royal family. How there are etiquettes, there are you need to be careful with some protocol. And also, the royal family, when they move, they also have to follow certain protocol. They cannot simply throw their hand out to shake hands with you. There are many restrictions, many protocol, everything is followed. But look at Jesus. He is the King of Kings. No two opinion on that. But he is always at work. Even on the cross, he is at work. The moment somebody said, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom," Jesus immediately responded. There is no protocol. There is no etiquette. "You have come to me, I am there to embrace you." That is the only mission he has. What is his mission? His mission is to forgive us. Sometimes we think that Jesus is sitting there with a pen and paper writing down all the mistakes that we are committing. No, not at all. Jesus is waiting so that we will turn to him. He is not there to counting our mistakes. No, not at all. He is more than interested in you turning to him. When you turn to him, no question is asked. He simply embraces you. If you look at Jesus' entire biography, if you look at his life, he was always accepting, always embracing, always receiving, always welcoming, always inviting. And when you turn to him, he is more than willing to embrace you. When he embraces you, that's it. Your past is not remembered. Your mistakes are not remembered. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. We may be remembering, I don't think he has that memory of our mistakes. The king who rules with his forgiveness. Billy Graham once said this, 75% of the patients in the hospital can go home if they know they are forgiven. Jesus offers forgiveness. Now the third point is the king who gives eternal life. The king alone can give us the new life, the new creation, the new relationship, the eternal life. Jesus said to the penitent thief, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, let's not worry too much about the word paradise. Is it in between heaven and earth, or is it heaven? Simple understanding, the word paradise in Hebrew means garden. Garden. From the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were chased out. From the Garden of Eden, they were sent out. They were sent out from the presence of God. Now Jesus opened that way. He opened the gate, and he is telling to this, this man, the thief, the penitent thief, you will be with me now in the paradise. The gate is open. You are the first one to enter. The sinner, a sinner is entering. A criminal is entering. An outsider is entering. You are now entering. You will be with me in paradise. He did not show great faith. He simply said this prayer, believing in Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. That was his last day, final day. He did not lead a good life. Or is he going to lead a good life later? That option is not available. He did not do any good works. Or is he going to do any good work, yet he is given paradise? He was unfaithful to God. He never expressed the faith in God, but now he expressed faith, but we don't know whether he will be worthy of that forgiveness Jesus has given him, yet he is granted paradise. What does this show? It shows that we enter into his kingdom not because of our hard work, not because of our strong faith, not because of our faithfulness of following him. We enter into his kingdom because he offers this free of cost. That's the grace. He gives us the free of cost. The king who gives eternal life. I'm not saying that the thief, the penitent thief, did not amend himself. Therefore, I don't need to amend myself. He did not lead a faithful life. Therefore, I should not lead the faithful life. That's not what I'm saying. He did not have that chance. His entry into paradise is purely God's grace, Jesus' grace. As we come to the end of this meditation, I want to look at all four Gospels and look at what Pilate said. This is recorded in all four Gospels. Pilate asked this question, "Are you the king? Are you the king?" The question now is not whether he is king. The question is, have you recognized his kingship in your life? That's the question. 2,000 years, people have enjoyed following this king. But are you accepted his kingship in your life? Will you bow to the king who rules not from a throne, but from the cross? Will you follow the king whose path is the path of sacrifice, crown of thorns? Will you follow him? Say unto Jesus, "Jesus, you are my king." May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen.